for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 25th, 2001. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Clement Humbard is the speaker of the morning.
Revelation 19, chapter verse 16. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, died for the sins of the world, conquered death, hell, and the grave, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, this same Jesus. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Everybody say it. King of kings and Lord of lords. Say it again. King of kings and Lord of lords. I want you to look up as we pray. If it bothers you because there's a ceiling there, lights, I still want your head up. I'm tired of the church always praying. Oh, we should be broken before God. God, melt our hearts. Brother, you blessed us so this morning. And there's time to put our face on the floor and agonize with God. But I think it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to start looking up. The Bible said, and Jesus is our example, John and I, the 17th chapter said, Jesus looked up and said, Father. I want you to look up right now as we pray. Thank you, Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, the great I am, the miracle worker, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We look unto Thee, the author and the finish of our faith, the mighty deliverer, the conqueror. We look unto Thee, O Thou King of kings and Lord of lords. Bless Thy people. Prepare their hearts for whatever You're going to do next in their life, I pray. And help us to exalt the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after everything is said and done, O God, grant me this mercy miracle. May no man be seen except that lowly Nazarene, the Son of God. No voice heard except that still, small voice that leads men back to the fold of God. Granted, I humbly ask through the mercy of God and the love of God and the grace of God, and we'll be careful to come back in Thy presence and give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Someone has said that the most used word in the Bible is come. The next most used word in the Bible is go. And then the third most used word in the Bible is man. The fourth most used word in the Bible is son. The fifth most used word in the Bible is king. God says, come, then go, then tell every man that my son is king. Now, the kingship of Jesus has been prophetically compromised during this last century, neglected, and the consequences are a great loss because we have widespread moral breakdown, spiritual declension, lawlessness of a derelict society. No longer does God rule in the lives of most of this generation around this world. No longer does God really rule in most lives of American Christians. There's no submission and obedience to Christ. One reason is that Christ is no longer proclaimed King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler in the affairs of men, and Lord over their lives. If you don't preach salvation, personal salvation, people won't be saved. If you do not preach healing, God may sprinkle a few little miracles around, but people will not be healed. If you do not preach and proclaim the gifts of the Spirit, and the 1 Corinthians 12, chapter verse 28 said God set them in the church. Well, they didn't die out with the apostles when the Bible is written. God didn't write His book to destroy His works and power. He wrote His book to confirm His words and power, and the signs will follow the word as we go forth and preach it. So if we don't declare and believe and preach the spiritual gifts, it'll be accidental if you ever see any of them happening in that congregation or among that denomination. Now, if we do not declare, I want you to get this, that Jesus Christ is a sovereign king, that He's not going to be king, He is this present moment the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Amen.
Now, I want you to get out of this heresy of prophecy in the last 150 years or so that says, well, He abated part of His promises. The Jews didn't believe He is the king, and someday He's coming back as the King of kings. Listen, I'm not looking for a soon coming king. I'm looking for a king who is soon coming.
Amen.
He is the King of kings. You say, well, the Jews, listen, you're mixed up. You better study God's Word. I've done my homework. I've wept over its pages. I have stayed prosperous before God, and I know what I'm talking about. The Jews didn't accept Him as Savior. Does that mean because these renegades didn't accept the Son of God that we'll hold our salvation till out there in a future age, then we'll accept Him as Savior? Nonsense. They didn't accept Him as God manifest in the flesh. They didn't accept Him as the visible part. He said, Philip, 14th chapter John. He that you said, show us the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He's walking among men, and he said, I'm down here, but I'm in heaven at the same time. See, we're dealing with God, not with little human understanding and reasoning and a little bit of theology and all. We're dealing with the relationship of the Lord God that created the heaven, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, delivered Daniel from the lion's den, the Hebrew children from the fire furnace, that God that was, that God that is, and God forever shall be. And He says, I am King. Now, I hope I can answer three questions today. First one, I've touched on it. Why is there such a moral breakdown in the last days? You say, well, it's prophesied in God's Word. That's right, but that prophecy is not there to make men evil. It's just to warn the believers of the last days, perilous times have come. Men shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, a turn away from the truth, apostasy in the end of time with the Laodicean church. That's not that God will make it come to pass. But I hope I can touch on this thing. Why do we have the moral breakdown and this sinfulness in these last days' time? Number two, I might ask the question like this. Why is the church running on half empty and only receiving half of the power of the Holy Spirit of God? That's right. Some of you shocked the morning I was here and I preached the unfulfilled ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then number three, we had our little song and dance, Man is Saved by Faith. Spirit poured out, not little mercy drops to one or two, but poured out on great congregations of the Holy Spirit. And now it's time to believe God for the age of grace and glory. Now we think the term glory normally means honor. It does. It means due respect. It does. But I'm talking about the Shekinah. I'm talking about the God, the Father, walking among men. The Bible even said concerning the children of Israel, God came down. In Abraham's day, Sodom and old Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah and backslid and compromised with the world. And God in heaven heard it so bad down in Sodom, He come by there, three strangers came by, and Abram, he entertained them. God said, I'm down here to see it. I'm going to go down to Sodom, see if it's bad as the angels are telling. Well, he knows everything, but I think he wanted to contact Abraham. So, the universal presence of Jehovah God is everywhere. If I make my bed in hell, he's there, the psalmist said. If I take the wings of the morning, he is there. The universal presence of God, Jehovah God, Emmanuel, is everywhere. But the manifest presence of God is only where someone is going to obey, repent of their sins, and believe.
Amen.
That's the manifest presence of God. Then the third realm or the third area of the presence of God, not only the universal presence, the manifest presence of God, but is the Shekinah glory of God. And I will tell you that the Bible prophesies this. It said that whosoever believeth shall be saved. And God said to all flesh, whosoever will, they can be saved. The word of God concerning the promise of the Holy Spirit, from Joel, I pour my spirit out upon all flesh, anybody, anytime, anywhere, can just be an open vessel and yield themselves and be filled with the Spirit. It's whosoever will. It's all flesh. And the same word of God said, all flesh shall see the glory of God, and the Shekinah glory of God will cover this earth like the water covers the sea. Do you hear me?
Amen.
The glory of God is coming. The Shekinah glory. The awesome glory. But it's not going to come by singing it up, dancing it up, shouting it up. It's not going to be manifest through animal heat. But we will worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'll give you one key that I haven't spoken on it around the last few months in this camp meeting at all or in any of the meetings here at the camp. It's a missing ingredient. And I hope I can answer not only why is the world so wicked today, and not only the Holy Spirit, people are operating on half empty. I beg your pardon, Brother Humbert, I'm filled with the Spirit. Yeah, maybe a thimbleful. You should be a big barrel. God increases our capacity as we hunger and thirst after righteousness. The same disciples filled, they were refilled. And in Galatians it said, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You get up in the morning, you open the Bible, and it's telling you to be filled again. It's somewhat evaporative if you're not refilled, refilled day by day, hour by hour, walking with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It's not what you got 17, 19 years ago. It's the very presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life this very moment. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I don't want us to make the tragic error that generation made when Jesus walked on this earth. Even the best of them, if I can maybe place it that way. They expected the Messiah to come. Never mind about that suffering part prophesied in Isaiah. We don't care about that. Let's jump to this other. He'll rule and reign in righteousness. Oh, great. You know what even the most religious expected? A Messiah that have a great army. Oh, a Messiah, the anointed of God, that would be among men, and they would live in luxury. Me and my family, us little four, we'd just be so blessed. Don't count your blessings one by one. Thank the blessing giver one by one. And so they came, they thought, oh, it'll be a time of ease. It'll be a time when all of our enemies are put under our foot. I don't want us to make the same mistake. You know what they did? They denied the Lord God of glory, the King of kings, and they looked for a king of national glory. Not a king coming in the name of the Lord riding on a lowly donkey. They anticipated a kingdom of earthly grandeur and might and the force to resist and conquer every enemy that might show up on the scene. Not a universal kingdom of God dwelling in the hearts and minds of His followers with spiritual power to conquer the devil and sin and its consequences. They long for a Messiah to sit on an exalted throne, not a Messiah conquering death through resurrection and reigning from his mediatorial throne in the heavens. They sought a crown and a sepulcher, not a crown of glory and honor and a sepulcher of righteousness. They expected to rule and reign in a kingdom, as I said, of a luxurious life, of taking at ease and eating and drinking, not a reign of righteousness in God's kingdom, a reign as Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's just righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now the prophet declared that the Lord Jesus Christ, the branch, will be the builder of the temple, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be both king and priest in perfect peace. This is very, very important. How many of you believe that you have a Savior? How many of you believe in the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He ascended to heaven through His own blood, as Hebrews said, offered that precious, incorruptible blood to the on the altar of God, near the throne of God, and it said that He, Hebrews, I believe, 7:25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You believe in the priesthood of Jesus, let me see. All right? You cannot separate His priesthood from His kingship, and here's where the church is erred. God is king of the universe and all of the earth. Some live in rebellion. He's still king. He's king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. His throne is established from old and everlasting. Now in the book of Zechariah, in the sixth chapter, we might turn there because we're going to spend a few minutes there. In Zechariah, it said this in verse 12, the middle of the verse. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. This is in capital letters, branch. There are four aspects of the branch in God's Word. The branch, Emmanuel. We've already made a few little remarks about that. Then it's the branch, Messiah. We made a few remarks about that. Then is the branch, the suffering Savior. If you will do what I've done, go through the New Testament, through the prophecies, even from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, the last portion of the chapter, and then in Isaiah 53, and then you read the Gospels where they took Jesus and the suffering that He went through, it'll break your heart. It'll melt you. It may not do to you what it's done to me, but I'm ashamed. I'm a member. Before God, I'm ashamed. I'm a member of the human race. That man could treat God, the Son of God, like they did. So He is the branch, Emmanuel, the branch, the Messiah, the branch, the suffering servant. Oh, I would to God the church knew what servanthood was today. Apostle Paul, after writing most epistles, said he'd open them up on verse 1 and say, Paul, a joint heir with Jesus. No. Paul, a mighty one. He had to defend one time his apostleship and his Hebrew lineage. But he said, Paul. His name was Saul. And God gave him a new name, Paul, the little one. When you get in servanthood, you realize that you're the little one and He's all in all. Without Him, you do nothing and you are nothing. Says Paul, then time again, he said, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the King of Kings, the branch, is Emmanuel, Messiah, the anointed of God. God gave Him the Holy Spirit without measure. The suffering servant, and then last, the king priest. In Zechariah here, in verse 12, the middle of the verse, behold, the man whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. You've heard me speak on the temple, the spiritual temple for God the Father. The church is not the mostest, bestest, greatest. Thank God for the church. It's the body of Christ. But Ephesians 2nd chapter said it groweth into a temple of God through the habitation of the Spirit. The members of the body of Christ First Peter, second chapter said, become lively stones in a spiritual building. Christ is the head of the church, but he is the chief cornerstone of the house, the temple that God is going to build upon this earth. And that temple, the church helps build it. We're part of it. But the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Bible tells us over and over that he shall build the temple of the Lord and he shall build the house of the Lord. The house is not the body. The church is the body, the Bible said, and the body is the church. Are my words in vain? Well, now, Glenn, I'm going to preach it, whether anyone ever receives it or not. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Then it repeats. Anytime anything repeats in God's Word, you better take note. Verse 13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon the throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. He'll do what? He'll be a king upon his throne, and at the same time, he'll be a priest. And the council of peace, there'll be no conflict if we rightly understand God's word. He's the high priest, and he is the King of kings right this moment. Now, here in, let's confirm this. Here in, it's in the next chapter, I believe. God says this. He said, I want you to take the gold and the silver, and I want you to make two crowns. All right? And he said, these two crowns, I want you to put them upon the head, Zerubbabel and Joshua, not the Joshua that led the children of Israel. This is a different one. He said, I want you to take this gold and silver that you're going to build the temple. I want you to make a couple of crowns. A silver crown. Thank you. A silver crown and a gold crown. And I want you to place them upon his head. Two crowns. A crown of the kingship and a crown of the priesthood at the same time. Two different crowns. Someone help me a little bit here on this there in Zechariah. But anyway, he said one is a crown of priesthood and the other is a crown of kingship. See, the head of the church wears a crown. Your reference Bible says, now be careful there. He is a high priest today, but he's not a king at all. Someday he will be a king. But he said, you take two crowns and you crown him. Which verse? Thank you. 6:10. The crowning. Yeah, I was just a verse off and I kept looking beyond. He said, take silver and gold and make crowns and set them on the head of Joshua, the son of the high priest. So we're told to reference Bibles. Now, Jesus is head of the church. He's not king of the church. That's a barefaced lie. The head of the church wears a crown. He is the high priest, and he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So he said, now you take these crowns and you put them on. Whatever God has put together, don't let man divide. The Bible tells this and put asunder. We use that little formula, don't we, in a wedding ceremony? But you're guilty before God if you'll take off the crown of Jesus' kingship till some kind of prophetic future. The Bible doesn't give you that authority to do it. We better exalt Jesus. We better accept him and receive him in every capacity of who he is, not what men might think he is or who he is. So then God does something else. He says, an angel comes, taps Zechariah on the side and said, wake up, I want to show you something. Well, what is it? Here's a tree. Now help me, Wade. It's there. Help me. He said, what's this? It says two olive trees. I want you to get this. Two olive trees. Then he saw seven pipes going out of these olive trees. And they went to the candlestick. There's the outer court, the inner court. Then there's the holiest of holies. In the inner court, there was a table of showbread. There's the altar of incense. Then there was the candlestick. Showbread identification with Christ. The altar of incense are praise and worship and adoration toward God. And then what is the symbol of the candlestick? The light of the Holy Spirit. The sevenfold Spirit said seven pipes going now from two, not one olive tree, but two olive trees. So, in Isaiah, the 11th chapter said, there shall come forth a branch, a root out of the stem of Jesse, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And it says, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge. And he shall not judge at the sight of his eyes or his ears. And it didn't say the Spirit of fear. The church has said that six of the sevenfold Spirit is the Spirit of fear. It is not. It didn't say the Spirit of fear. It said the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel. But here it said a characteristic of the branch. He'll have a reverent trust toward God. And then the last two names of the Spirit, sevenfold Spirit. And if read in Revelation, the first chapter through chapter 5, 6, and you'll see that it mentions several times, this Holy Spirit is a sevenfold Spirit. Great is the mystery of godliness. So, he said, not judge at the sight of his ears, so forth. That is by faith. The sixth Spirit is faith. Then with equity, with compassion and love, that's what the original words mean there, that's the Spirit of love. The sevenfold Spirit bestows the nine spiritual gifts in the New Testament church. He said the Spirit of wisdom. Paul said to another, given the gift of wisdom. Spirit of understanding, the discerning of spirits, Paul said in the New Testament church, 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. Then he said the Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of counsel bestows the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Then he said the fourth Spirit, the Spirit of might. It bestows the miracle gifts, the gifts of healing and the gift of miracles. Then the fifth Spirit, it said the Spirit of knowledge. And the Bible said, Paul said to one, he's given the word of knowledge. And then it said, he'll judge at the sight of his eyes and ears. That's the Spirit of faith. That's the sixth Spirit. And Paul said to another, is the gift of faith that God gives in the New Testament church. This is the sevenfold Spirit bestowing the nine spiritual gifts in the New Testament church. What about the seventh one, Clement? Well, it says love. And the Bible was written in verses chapter just continued and said, I show you a better way. Talking about the gifts goes right on into the so-called 13th chapter and said, there is a road. I show you a high road. And he said, if I speak with tongues and of men and angels and have not love, I'm a sounding brass tinkling cymbal. I'm a gang of garbage cans hanging out on the back fence for the garbage man to pick up with the dump truck. And he said, though I understand all mysteries and have not love, I am nothing. When God calls us nothing, brother, we are a big zero. We are absolutely nothing. It is the road and it dominates. God is love, and as God is, so are we in this present world. First John 4th chapter, verse 17, part C, as he is right now. And it said, God is love, so are we. We walk in it. Your gifts and if your ministry is not dominated, saturated, penetrated with the love of God and love for man, you're a farce. I'm a farce. If it's not the divine love of God, there's a sevenfold Spirit bestowing the nine spiritual gifts in the New Testament church. All right. Now, we accept him. Here is the two olive trees. The two olive trees. And it's seven pipes. The seven pipes are the seven spirits that's before the throne of God. The sevenfold Spirit. And in chapter 4, here in Zechariah, is the golden lampstand. Seven lamps, seven pipes. And then verse 3 said the two olive trees. How many olive trees?
Two.
Now here is where I'm going to explain why I said we're half empty and we're operating on a half tank. Until the church, one of those olive trees is Jesus Christ, the high priest, ever lived to make intercession for us. The other olive tree is Jesus Christ, the King. That's what the whole book right through here is talking about. The double. The Bible said in Psalms 110, Yahweh said to my Yahweh. In the original, sounds crazy, doesn't it? Jehovah said to my Jehovah. Oh, let's get out of the natural, in the supernatural, out of the earthly, in the heaven, out of a little playhouse, religion, little doctrines, little two-by-four stuff, and let's just worship God in spirit and in truth and rise above all of these other things. Yahweh said to my Yahweh. Sit here until I make your enemies my footstool. His enemies are our enemies. And it says in 1 Ephesians, the church, Christ is there sitting at the right hand of God, and all enemies underfoot. And it says then, he is the head, and this speaks of the body of Christ. We're supposed to be ruling. Did you know this? We're supposed to be ruling and reigning, not in the millennial reign, but right now with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians, the first chapter, read it, the last few verses of the chapter. I have so many different sermons here, but they're all of it touches one. This is a book of unity. So, we'll accept his priesthood. What does that do? That relieves the Holy Spirit through one of the seven pipes, or through the seven pipes, to go out to the world where the Holy Spirit will convict of sin, of righteousness, judgment, and through the gifts of the Spirit. Actually, the gifts of the Spirit is the glorified, resurrected Savior in His God-anointed church through individual members of that church in operation. And in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6 says there are gifts of the Spirit. You deny the Holy Spirit manifest revealing Himself. Says their administration is the Lord. You deny apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You deny the ministrations of the Lord. Then he said the operations of God. You deny the miracles of Almighty God. You have destroyed God. You have no God. Only a human being can only let you know that they exist through their humanity. God the Father lets Himself, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit lets Himself be known through the gifts of the Spirit, the ministrations of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the operations of God. So one of these trees is not priesthood, it is kingship. When the church declares He is King of Kings, Lord, day by day, I almost begin every prayer with praise and worship, and it always comes out of mouth, O Thou King of Kings, Thou Lord of Lords, Thou great I Am, the miracle worker, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, all that Scripture. And I'm praising Him and pray. And your highest element is just to pray God's Word back to Him anyway. So can you see that as long as we're going to, well, now there's going to be a ten-toed kingdom, you know. You get this lady's tape. Then the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, and 666, and you know what this... I don't care a blooming thing about it. I've preached 40 years, just like Glenn Miller said. If I've got the seal in my head, I'm not worried about the Antichrist. The Antichrist's not my thing. The ten-toed kingdom, Gog Magog, yeah, I studied as a young minister, all of that. Don't waste my time coming up and discussing it. Don't bring any books to me on it. I've just about covered all those bases before most of you were ever born. And I don't know it, or I hadn't got it all. But I am interested not in the Antichrist, but the Christ. I'm not interested in some hook-nosed Jews going back to Jerusalem, build a temple on Mount Moriah. I can't get excited about that at all. But I do get excited that the branch is to build the temple, and that God the Father is going to come, as Ephesians the second chapter said, for a habitation. The church groweth and becomes a habitation of the Lord our God. And where God the Father is, there's always the Shekinah glory. You know, back in the Bible, Ichabod, the glory hath departed. Priesthood backslid, and the glory departed. Now, God dealt with the Israeli nation, the Hebrews, and Israel. And when they came out of Egyptian bondage,
I have hundreds of scriptures here, but I just don't know how to handle it. Or to be like my dad, preacher at a preacher's convention when he's a young minister. So just take much time as you want to, and we want you to preach on the operation and cooperation of the body of Christ. God anointed him. He got up and preached 2 hours. The dinner bell rang. Not a person left. Ministers. They didn't grab the golf clubs. None of them went after knives and forks and spoons. He preached 4 hours and 15 minutes. The whole camp meeting ended up hundreds of ministers, all loving one another, hugging each other, weeping and crying, praying together. So I realize I don't have any 4 hours or 4.5 hours.
It would be worse before.
But I want you to see that he shall, and in Hebrews it says it several times. And there in Psalms 110, Yahweh, you sit by my Yahweh. I'll make your enemies your footstool, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. In prophecy, the prophecy expert says someday he's going to come back to rule. He's going to destroy his enemies, then he's going to rule. That might be a day, but this Bible, you're missing all of it. It said he's ruling now in the midst of his enemies. You're presently a high priest and a prince before God. We're not going to rule and reign. We should be right now ruling and reigning. So he said in Psalms 110, because thou art a priest after the order of what? Melchizedek. The Word, without a beginning, without an ending. But the Word, the first part, means king. And Kodesh, part of its use, it means righteousness. Then of peace. King of righteousness and a king of peace is after the order of Melchizedek. This order of Melchizedek, it sort of brads on the other side the nail I've driven when I said he is king, priest, and there's two crowns. And there's two olive trees. Because if you'll take time in Hebrews, you'll find out after a few chapters, he picks it up and he mentions it several times, this mysterious person that Abraham gave tithe to, and it said that Jesus Christ is a high priest after the order and after the Melchizedek. And that word means king of righteousness, king of peace, and he said he is a priest after this righteous order. Both things at the same time. Now, if you want to see, how many would like to see Elisha portion, a double portion of the Holy Spirit? That's what Elisha asked for. Then loose the cap. Start declaring that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Did you hear me? He is King Priest. If unbelief, you're going to shoot one of those, shoot them both. He is King Priest presently on this earth. Presently. You say, well, he's at the throne of God. Well, how far off is heaven? In the Hebrews it said, now ye are come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, city of the living God. Hey, spirit of just men, innumerable company of angels, and the spirit of just men made perfect. So here we have the two trees. Now, when God was dealing with man and he wanted Israel to come out, and he said, I'll be your king. Well, you know what happened. That worked for a while. And as long as God was the king, he provided every need. If the church will start, he did. I have a whole sheet full here. The shoes on her feet wouldn't wear out. The clothes. They were fed every day. They drank water from the rock, and the rock that followed them, the Bible said, is Christ. That rock was Christ. They had all these provisions, the cloud, the fire. They lived in an air-conditioned environment constantly, thank God.
Long as they obeyed God, nothing could stand before them. Long as they obeyed God, every provision. And we see such poverty in the kingdom of God today and among God's people. Well, the just shall live by faith. I personally, I've always just taken that scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These things shall be added. I've cried and prayed for the kingdom of God and the expenses of the ministry. But if I'm ashamed, because you said ask for yourself. I find it very hard to ask, have all my life to ask for myself. A dollar a dime doesn't mean a thing to me. Millionaire in Florida is a wonderful Christian. And I was to go and visit him in Miami Beach. When I walked out to his pool there, he's sitting. This is a $2 or $3 million home. He said, Brother Clement, sit down. I want to tell you something. God doesn't often speak to me, but He just spoke to me. He said, you hear that car door slam out there outside your estate? It is a state with a wall and the iron gates. He said, it's probably the only man you'll ever meet in your life that money doesn't mean a thing to. Well, he took that as a businessman and belittled me. That's all right, I took it. But see, God, when you declare that God is king, like ancient Israel, the promises of God will come back to the church that every need will be supplied, and Philippians 4:19 will take place. Our God shall supply all your needs. But read that. That's not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Read a few verses before. They had taken care of Paul and had taken care of the kingdom of God. And he said, you've laid up treasures in heaven. It's well-pleasing unto God. And anything that's well-pleasing to God, brother, you better look out and get out of the way. And he said, now this is well-pleasing, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. So the kingdom of God, God said to Israel, now you make me king. They did. They tried it. That worked for a while. But finally they got in the land and they backslid. They forgot the name of God. And they came to the judges, Gideon and others. And then they came to the prophets. Prophet Samuel said, we want a king like other nations. He said, no, God said, He's to be king over you. See, God's ideal form of government is a theocracy with the true God ruling and reigning over the people. Isn't it ironic that the lawgiver is not given place today in law or civic law? It is a tragedy. So finally, Ambulage and his mother tried to make him king of Israel. Made a mess of it. It wasn't an ordained, but the first ordained of God was Saul. You know the story. He lost out with God in disobedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Then there was King David. The Bible said plainly that King David sat on the throne of the Lord. It said Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. God did not relinquish His throne. He just gave a co-executive, a temporary thing to sit on a throne. They didn't even have a chair. Man thinks one thing and God thinks another thing. And we think a throne is a big chair. Solomon, when he backslid, did all of these terrible things. He built the most glorious throne that was known among the nations that day and time, and he sat up on there. You say, well, Jesus Christ is going to sit on David's throne. It doesn't belong to David. He does not possess the throne. He is a predecessor. Like I'd say, would you take Wade's chair? It's the chair that you're sitting in. God temporarily gave it. There are no unconditional promises. Tear that page out of your reference book. For the house of David, they backslid. But from the seed of David comes the King of Kings. Amen. And the Lord of Lords. So, they got earthly kings. And God said to Samuel, the prophet, they haven't rejected you, Samuel, in your wisdom. They've rejected me. Said, I didn't want them to have a king. I wanted to be Lord and king over them. But they backslid. And right at the time, now watch this, right at the time that they started refusing those generations for him to be king, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen. Ichabod, the glory, departed. And they started getting taken captive by their enemy. If you want set free, go on and declare your freedom, but also that you are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So where are we today? God said, I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. Hosea 13:11. It did say that David sat on the throne of God. And it said Solomon, 1 Chronicles 29:23, Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David. And I'm just trying to tell you that who sat on whose throne? It was the throne of God. He never did relinquish it, and he doesn't relinquish it this day and time. So Solomon and David both sat on the throne of God. And God had warned them, said, you know, the kingship will be taken away from you, the earthly kingship, if you don't obey me. When he's recognized, acknowledged, declared, honored as king in worship and in daily life, and in battle, the children of Israel experienced the Shekinah glory. From God they reap mercy, miracles, manifold gifts, daily provisions, great benefits, and multiplied miracles. They receive deliverance from national bondage. Their nation of slaves became a victorious army. No enemy could stand before them in battle as long as they humbly walked with God in obedience. They were shielded and guided, as I mentioned, by a cloud and a fire and the daily food supply, and their thirst was quenched. They experienced divine help, for the Bible said in Psalms 105:37, there was no feeble one among them in his kingship. Shoes on their feet and clothes on their bodies, I said, did not wear out. And that's Exodus 29:5. The will of God could usually be known instantly by the Urim and Thummim, worn by the high priest in Exodus. The Shekinah glory. Now, how many believe that God is going to let the glory of God cover this earth like the waters do the sea? All right. The Shekinah glory, and here it is a visible manifestation when He is King. The glory is not going to come until we acknowledge, preach, teach, believe, obey, and live in the kingship of Jesus. Can I repeat it? We want the glory of God. I'm not speaking of honor now, and that word is used for honor and due respect. I'm speaking, do we want the glory, the Shekinah glory of God?
Amen.
The Shekinah. If we want the Shekinah, and I believe most of you know now, we don't have to spend time in definition or explanation. The Shekinah is a visible manifestation of the King of Glory, His kingship. Then we have the Shekinah. The Bible said these things are recorded for our examples. Bless your heart, here comes King Jesus. Jesus Christ is King. He is prophesied as King to reign in righteousness. Isaiah 32:1, Jeremiah 23:5. He's the King with salvation. How many are saved? Well, Zechariah 9:9 says it's the King that brings salvation. He was born as a king, Matthew 2:2. And Luke 1:32, he's declared king by his followers. John 1:49, he's acclaimed king of the saints in the Psalm of Moses. Revelation 15:3, and not only is he king there, but this song you're going to sing in heaven, the Song of Moses. And in that song it said he is king. Isn't that beautiful? Fulfilled prophecy. As king, riding on a donkey, Luke 19:38, and in Zechariah 9:9, Jesus is as king, as taught by Apostle Paul, Acts 17, chapter, verse 3 and 7. Pilate publicly stated at Jesus' trial, said he's king, John 19:14 and 19. When Jesus was asked, are you king? Jesus said, I am.
John 18:33-37, the blessed King cometh in the name of the Lord. Matthew 21:4-5, He is the King forever. Psalms 10:16-29, He's the ever... Jeremiah said, let's add something else to this. He is the everlasting King. Jeremiah 10:10, He's the King eternal. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:17, He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6:15, and I gave you Revelation 19:6-16, and also Revelation 17:14. He has the right to rule and be sovereign over all the earth. Isaiah 9:6-7. He is the Prince of Peace, or Peaceful Prince King. Isaiah 9:6. He died as a king. Matthew 27:37. He is resurrected as a king. Psalm 16:9-7. And Acts 2:30-31, 32, 33, 34. He's king in the congregation of the saints, the Bible said in Psalms 89:27. And he's worshipped as king by the church in the New Testament in Timothy 1:17 and Timothy 6:14-15. He's the King of righteousness forever, Hebrews, and that is Melchizedek, Hebrews 7. Chapter verse 1 through 3 and verse 21. He's now, Paul said, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, 1 Timothy 1:17. You say, well, we can't see him now. Well, the devil has a kingdom and you don't see him. The devil has a throne and you don't see him. Did you hear it? The devil is king of darkness and you don't see him. That shouldn't hinder your faith and power at all. The Bible said that he is a present king, reigns in righteousness, and as a sepulcher of righteousness is the sepulcher of the kingdom, Hebrews 1:8. And the fact that Christ is not visible as a Savior, that doesn't change it. We're saved. He's not visible as a healer usually, but we are still healed. He's not visible as the mighty baptizer, but we're still baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. God said to His Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is a sceptre of the kingdom. In Hebrews 1:8 and 9 and Psalms 45:6-7. The psalmist, and God bless you, and He'll bless you greatly for the sweet psalmist of David. If you will meditate on these words and let them become a part of you. 1,000 years before the King of Kings was ever born, Psalms poured it out, and he declared that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if it's eternal praise. The king steps out of the chambers of eternity in the Psalms, and the theme is praise, divinely inspired with incomparable literary excellence. David, the sweet psalmist, chosen of God, and others praise Christ as king in more than 24 passages. Christ's kingdom, His throne, His rule, His reign, interwoven in the magnificent praise appearing in the Psalms in dozens of places. And for 3,000 years, the Psalms proclaim this, that Christ is King. David sang songs to praise to Christ the King, as I said, 1,000 years before the King of Kings came. Can't we sing praises unto the King 2,000 years after He did come? We cannot accept that it's in abeyance because we have no scriptural authority for it. We are to praise Him now. Praise begins in the second Psalms. The Messiah, the Prince, I have cast in an image, in a mold, my King, God said. And when God casts something in a mold, that's what the word means, set. It means that it stays there. Once God says, I'm King, He is King. Once that Jesus Christ title, He's in the revelation, He is that forever, 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 forever. True worship no longer is limited to a particular place. We worship God in spirit and in truth. He said, I'm going to set my King in Zion. You heard the chorus singing a little while ago. King of Zion and Lion of Judah. Conversion to Christ makes us Zion, the people of God. Acts 15, verse 3, 14 and 15, and Isaiah 15 and 51 and 16. And 2 Corinthians 6:16, Jeremiah 31:33, and Joel 2:13 and 28:32 shows the true believers of God have become Zion.
and we go up to Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews 12, verse 12 through 14, and Galatians 4, 25, 26. Those in a faith in Christ Jesus are the true Israel of God, and they are the true design, are the true Zion of God. Those who trust in the Lord shall be Mount Zion, Psalms 125, verse 1. He said, have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion, Psalms 2:6. The inspired interpretation in Acts, which asserts the prophecy had its fulfillment in Christ, is in Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 25 through 28. In Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11, it's a prediction of the resurrection, not of just a Savior, but a resurrection of a king. According to Peter, Acts 2, 2nd chapter, verses 25 through 36, and Paul, Acts 13, 30 through 37, the psalm relates to Christ, the King, His suffering, His victory over death and the grave, including His exaltation to His throne at the right hand of God. Thank God the Bible interprets the Bible. Psalms 24 through verses 7 through 10 is a prediction of the ascension of the King of Kings into glory. Psalms 45 is the King in His beauty. Psalm 72 is a vision of the King and the characteristics of His kingdom. Later in Psalms 145 is David's psalm of praise to the King and praise for His kingdom. He said, oh, I will extol Thee, my God, O King. I will bless Thy name forever and forever. And he also said the saints. Who is that? Not dead saints. God has living saints. He said the saints shall bless Thee, O King. They shall speak of the glory of kingdom, talk of Thy power, and make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glory and majesty of His kingdom. We've got to believe it. We've got to receive it. We've got to accept it. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing praise unto Thee. Oh, for a thousand hands in honor of the King. We'll crown Him, as the majestic hymn says, King of Kings in our honor, but He is already crowned. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's start declaring He is King. Now, give me another minute. I said there's terrible sin in Elijah's days. Because the church hasn't taught that He's present King. When He's a present King, that means He has rules and regulations, commandments to be obeyed. And those commandments, if people are not going to obey the commandments of God, they're not about to obey the commandments of man. So the church has refused to be ruled and even declare Him King. So what happens? It seeps on out in the society of modern man. And the Bible said when there was no king in Israel, every man, I think that's the last verse of Hosea, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You build your own kingdom. We've got to believe it. Do you believe it? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are to live truth. His truth is not dead truth. It's not to get in your head. Jesus said, my words are life, they're spirit. You need a supernatural revelation as Jesus Christ is Savior. You'll never be saved. You need a supernatural revelation. Jesus is healing, miracle worker. You'll never be healed. You need a supernatural revelation of Jesus as King. You need more than a little preacher stumbling around trying to tell you what God's Word says. You need to follow this up and say, Lord, I know it's Your Word. Jesus, I'm not going to rob You of any honor and glory. I'm going to give You all the glory. And I'm going to receive, not accept. Accept is in the mind. Receive is in the whole being, soul, spirit, mind, and body. You don't accept Christ, you receive Christ. That's biblical. And receive Him as the King of Kings, Lord of Life.
If you'll receive him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, stand to your feet. Lift your hand. Lord, we declare it. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruling and reigning now with a sepulcher of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, I believe it. I receive it. Thou art the sovereign King. Thou art to rule and reign. I'm to live and in submission. And to be an heir and a joint heir with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, restore your kingship to the body of Christ. We know when you are king, the Shekinah glory is there. Every provision is provided. And men fear Almighty God and will live by the rules of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible said personal pronouns. My King. Thy King.
Our King.
It mentions his kingship in prayer, in guidance, in allegiance, in so many ways. Say it again, my King. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, brother.
Hallelujah. Great word. Great, great word. He's the King of Kings. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Oh, let's go out with a shout then. Put this up here, will you? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We're going to worship the King. We're going to praise His name. We're going to lift our holy hands. We're going to worship the King. We're going to worship the King. We're going to praise His name. We're going to lift our holy hands. We're going to worship the King. We're going to praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. Praise Him in the dawn and dusk. We're going to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. You'll hear us sing in a song. We're going to worship the King. We're going to praise His name. We're going to lift up holy hands. We're going to worship the King. We're going to worship the King. We're going to praise His name. We're going to lift up holy hands. We're going to worship the King. We're going to worship the King. We're going to praise His name. We're going to lift up holy hands. We're going to worship the King.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.